So we're going to play a little game of hit or miss here. Go ahead and hit the hit the music there. So we're going to go through each rookie. Okay. And I want you to tell me what a hit looks like. We're talking about for the career here in Cleveland.
For their whole career.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Because we've done a lot of like rookie expectations. But I do think like, because I think it's interesting to see what you think their career is given where they've been drafted. So Mason Graham, what does a hit look like for him?
Multiple All-Pros. Obviously, that comes with a bunch of Pro Bowl appearances, too. That's like 7 or 8 Pro Bowl appearances. Maybe you make 2 or 3 All-Pro selections. I'm not saying you got to be in Cooperstown, wrong Hall of Fame. Saying you got to be in Canton.
Weird if you thought it should be in Cooperstown.
Well, you know, they're moving these things around so often these days. Yeah. New exhibits everywhere. So the point is that I don't think you have to be a Hall of Famer when you're taking 5th overall. I do think you have to make all pro selections, whether that's first or second team. And if you make just a couple, I think that's a pretty high bar to set, but I think it's a very fair bar.
So I do think an 8 to 10 year career where he's just consistently a really good pass rusher and just a well-rounded. I think maybe 5 or 6, like even if he just makes the Pro Bowl half the year or a couple of all-pro teams, I think I can live it. I think what's interesting is my miss, because this is not a knock on this dude because he's made the Pro Bowl already. But if he's Derek Brown in Carolina, and I watched Derek is honestly an underrated player. The problem is when they took him, the thought was, you're not going to generate a lot of sacks in your career, but you'll be stout everywhere. That's actually who he's been. So if Mason ends up being a 2 to 3 sack a year guy and an occasional Pro Bowler, still plays 8 to 10 years,
yeah,
but just never really cracks through on the pressures numbers or the sack number. Derek's a little bit better on the pressure numbers. Sacks matter, especially for a pass rusher, especially if you're taken with a top 10 pick like Derek or a top 5 pick like Mason.
So I got a name for a hit and I got a name for a miss here. The name for a hit that popped in mind, somewhere in the area of Ndamukong Suh, I think would be awesome. Obviously, he just retired, so that's why he's at the top of my brain and everything. But somewhere around there, I think would be something that, and he doesn't have to have the immediate impact that Ndamukong Suh had, obviously, because right out of the gate, he was doing a lot of the things that I talked about him accomplishing to begin with long term. And would I like a better back end of the career than Ndamukong Suh had? For sure I would. But I think that's a definite hit if you're Ndamukong Suh, not even a question. And I think the miss category, if we're talking about people that like still you still accomplish things, but you fell short of the goals and the expectations, not from the inside, but from the outside, I would say Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, yeah, that's really good. Like, universally good football player, but really was never the best sack artist on his own team.
Yeah, like, you did make a couple of Pro Bowls. I think Jadeveon ended up making 3 in total. He obviously had impacts on games. Nobody could say he was a scrub. Nobody could say he was an absolute, massive bust at the number one overall pick. But still, for a number one overall pick, for being taken as high as he was, it's hardly the career that you want.
And bounced around quite a bit. So we're playing hit or miss here. So what we're doing here is we're setting up, all right, this is what a hit would look like if Mason Graham hits as a pick. This is what a miss would look like. Because I think sometimes we treat prospects like it's all or nothing. As you kind of pointed out there with Jadeveon Clowney, there's a spectrum of okay within that. Let's go to Carson Schlesinger, which I don't think there's a huge difference between his hit and his miss.
Yeah.
Where do you start with him?
I mean, out of a second round linebacker, I think I just want somebody to make a Pro Bowl a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more, nothing less. I'd like a longer career than maybe. So I instantly thought if he has Joe Schobert's career, is that a disappointment? And I think that might be closer to the miss side than the hit side.
Yeah, I agree with the miss part of this. To me, it's less about the accolades, because linebackers, for some reason, we're just not as consistent with them in who the true elites are versus like a Bobby Wagner, Luke Kuechly, versus like a young DeMario Davis or like a Christian Kirksey.
Yeah.
So to me, it's about
Davis is a good one for the hit category.
So for me, my hit is, can he be a, this is not just in Cleveland, but can he be a starting middle linebacker in that first season, and can he lock down this position through to a second contract?
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is my miss is if he's an off-ball linebacker. Because if he's an off-ball linebacker, I don't think he's JOK. I know he was drafted with the idea of potentially filling some of that role. I think Diabate is a great like potential heir. I think he's got a lot of the athleticism in the way, the ferocity which he plays. I think Schlesinger is a absolute hit if he is a starting middle linebacker and locks that spot down for at least the next 5 to 7 years.
You want DeMario Davis in the second half of his career more so than the first half.
Absolutely.
And obviously the hard part about a DeMario Davis career is that he'd be doing a lot of the heavy lifting on the team that didn't draft him, but that's neither here nor there.
So we are playing hit or miss here. Did you say you did get your hit out there.
Yeah.
So 216-474-0092. What is your hit? Meaning if Mason Graham hits as a draft pick, what does that look like and what does a miss look like? We're going to skip Quinshon because I think it's really unfair to have that conversation today given the off-the-field stuff.
Okay.
Harold Fannin Jr., though, I think is really fascinating given the context he's walking into.
Yeah, and so Harold, I don't even think he has to make a Pro Bowl for it to be some sort of big, awesome thing. But I think replacing Njoku, if he's going to eventually do that, then I think I turn someone that was taken in a spot that I shouldn't expect multiple Pro Bowls into a guy that now I have to expect multiple Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
So the hit rate has to be a couple. He's got to have some of the nice individual accomplishments there.
What if he's Njoku? Because I think that same profile, what David has done in 8 years.
It's interesting.
Is elite as a third rounder as opposed to if you took him at the back half of the first round.
He gets a lot of the accomplishments then, and then he would have been legitimately. All I want out of Harold Fannin is if every single year they do those ESPN rankings and he's in the top 10 consistently, like Njoku's been for such a stretch now, that's a win. That's a hit.
And I think, so I don't know Harold's ever going to be your best player. Like, he was clearly their offensive BG. If he's consistently your second or third best player, pass catching option, I think that's a really good sign, especially because early in careers, tight ends don't always produce the way they do as they get older, like a Delanie Walker or somebody like that.
My miss, by the way, is going to be one that might be a little controversial. It might also sting a little bit too, and I don't intend to do that. I think Austin Hooper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you have just enough success early on where people are like, should we pay you big? Should we not pay you big? But then they end up not paying them big, and then it flames out, and then everything is just an uphill battle from there.
I was going to go Cole Kmet. He did just enough to get the second contract. You look at the overall numbers. There's a reason they drafted Loveland for Michigan.
Yeah, Loveland should end up replacing him.
All right. We're not going to do the Shador thing because we only do Shador content when you're not here.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Dylan Gabriel.
Because it's the most fun I ever have is talking Shador Sanders. It's like,
got to withhold a little bit.
We'll do that when he's not here.
Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel. I mean, the hit has got to be... honestly though, that's like a great call. Like, yeah. If you're Chase Daniel, when it's all said and done, you've made a lot of money and you've achieved more than most people thought you would. I was thinking clipboard Jesus off the top of my head.
Oh yeah, same guy.
Same guy.
Except he doesn't say Diana.
Diana, we just got fired. Diana. Diana.
Too soon.
Diana.
We lost.
Diana. What are we doing?
Lost our job today, Diana.
I think the lesser is he's playing in the UFL or the CFL in 3 years. And I can't discount that, by the way. I think he's much more likely to be Colt McCoy or Chase Daniel.
The CFL should have taken his rights, too?
I think so.
And a big battle for Shador's rights in the CFL. Maybe they should have taken his, too.
216-474-0092. Is Dylan Gabriel more of a Toronto Argonaut, or is he more of a Calgary, whatever the hell they call that team now?
Are they the Stampedes, or am I just making things up now?
I think you are right. I think that they do have a hockey team also named, like a minor league hockey team named the Stampede.
That's probably what it is.
Where would Shador go, by the way? You would want to put him in like Edmonton, right? Just get all that attention on a
I'm not focused on Shador if he plays in the CFL. I'm not. But there's a lot that went wrong. There's a lot that went wrong if that were to happen.
I cannot wait for the Peterlin pivot.
Excuse me.
If he ends up in the CFL. From 1 of 8 for the Cavs to 1 of 4. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.